Welcome, and thank you for joining the Being and Longing Workshop. Last year in the 2021 Alliance Conference, I led a workshop on the core principle of relationships and discussed in great detail the many relationships that take place and really form the texture of the Waldorf School experience, private or public. The relationship that the children have to one another, the relationship that a child has to a teacher, the relationship that the teacher has to the parent body, and the relationships that the parents have to their children and other people's children, and so on. The richness, the complexity of those relationships make that core principle what I call the core and the source of all of the other principles. And we even saw how the child's ability to form relationships is not only a social skill, which we hope is cultivated in the Waldorf setting, but is also a cognitive skill, one that actually is underlying the way Waldorf students learn. So that was last year. This year, this workshop on being and longing not only is trying to look ahead at the theme of next weekend's upcoming conference, but is also an extension, even an expansion of the relationships workshop, trying to provide a greater context to the world of relationships in which the child finds him or herself, and to recognize that the relationships that we see in the classroom, in the school community, are themselves reflections of not only another set of relationships, but they are reflections of the longing, the need that lives in the child to find a sense of belonging. So I'll say a few words about what you're going to encounter in the lectures, and then I'll leave you to listen to them yourself. A mother once came up to a Jesuit priest at a social gathering and said, "You know, I recognize that the Jesuits are the greatest educators, and I would like to ask you, and I'll certainly donate generously to your order if this could happen, would you be willing to take on my child's education? I would be so grateful." The Jesuit priest considered it for a moment and said, "And how old is your child, madam?" To which she answered, "He's 3. To which the Jesuit replied, "I'm sorry, madam, that's too late." I'm sure that those of you who are in early childhood education can sympathize with the Jesuit priest in feeling, wow, by age 3, so much has been put in place. So much is already there in the child's nature. And we have, in many respects, a whole lot of undoing, we might say, of unschooling to do to counterbalance what parents with the best of will and good intentions may have mistakenly done in the course of bringing up their child, what our society, our culture, the drive to the school, the noise of the city or suburbs. I don't have to enumerate all of these things. You're well aware of them. So much is already in place in those first 3 years. And we recognize, of course, and I think Waldorf schools are more sensitive to this, more humble about their capacity to change all of this, we recognize how important the upbringing in the home is. What are the parents like? What's their relationship to one another? What's their relationship to this child or to their other children? And what maze of relationships has this child already been brought into before he or she ever comes to the door of the Waldorf preschool or kindergarten? So this is such an important factor that in the private Waldorf schools, at least up to the first decade or so of the 21st century, it was a given that a new first grade teacher would make home visits, would try to visit and ideally have dinner with every family that was going to be in his or her class. I've done this. I've had over 30 families. It's a big, big task that can occupy a good part of one's summertime. Nowadays, I'm not sure this is even permitted in public school education. And certainly, I think it's one of the many things that's tended to fall by the wayside in private schools as well. But of course, as you might imagine, if you haven't ever done this yourself, it's a revelatory experience. You know, even if the parents back in my day would cover their TVs with silk or at least a sheet, even if they would take down their punk rock posters, this tells you how far back I go, a teacher could still gain tremendous insight into the family dynamic and the cultural, rhythmic, or arrhythmical environment in which the child lived. You know, the questions that a class teacher would be asking as he or she made that visit was, what is the child's room like? Is there beauty and order in the home? Not necessarily anthroposophically inspired art, but is there an attempt at creating a setting of serenity, an aesthetic quality to the home? What are sibling relationships like? Or is this an only child? What is the child's behavior like with parents? I don't care how much they lectured the child before the teacher came. The truth will out in that respect very quickly. What is mealtime like? Is there a feeling of ritual or disorder, chaos, aside from the quality or lack of quality of the repast itself? And so on and so on. The home visit, what a wonderful experience, what insight one could gain in what is already in place, what I may or may not be able to transform, to transmute, what I have already given to me by these wonderful parents, and they're all wonderful, to work with, what's already there. And a recognition that the child who shakes my hand on that first day of first grade already is part of a continuum of an ongoing story, a narrative. And there's so much talk nowadays of, you know, making your own story and finding your own narrative. And as the writer Muriel Rukeyser once said, the world is not made of atoms, it's made of stories. So we get the backstory of that child before we, the quintessential storytellers of all educational systems, before we help to write that child's further chapters in their life. So I bring this because I would like you to listen to what follows, to the next two lectures, and in the spirit of making a home visit. Only this is the home before the home. This is the home in which the child has lived, not just for the past 6 or 7 years with this family, but rather for a period, as you will hear, as long as a millennium, as long as 10 centuries. This is the home in which we're going to make a very, very quick visit. But however, I would contend that unless we, in one way or another, make it our business to now and then visit this macrocosmic home, this cosmic home, we are not going to be able to fully appreciate, honor, validate, love the child whom we are teaching. And I'm going to again and again bring to your attention the fact that this is something you can do as an individual, personally, out of your own spiritual freedom. This is not something to which the Alliance or OSNA or any other group has the responsibility for telling you to do, of course, and certainly not the responsibility for keeping you from understanding the great, even grave importance of this. We're talking about the child at a time before he or she yet is even he or she, at a time when they are still androgynous, pre-gender, pre-division of the sexes. We are talking about the child at a time when he or she is essentially a spiritual being, devoid of race, of ethnicity, of any national characteristic. This is the child in the deepest and the highest sense. And unless we now and then can meet this child, we are going to be plagued with an ever-growing number of social issues that stand in the way, that divide us from the child, and thereby divide the children from one another. So I hope that you can embark on this home visit and find that it piques your interest. You will notice that at the bottom of the portal page from which you came to this lecture, there's a list of books by Rudolf Steiner on many of the topics that I touch on in this workshop. And below that, please keep scrolling, you'll also see a long list of other courses and offerings that I have that you can join at any time, view, listen to, and especially the online conferences for grades 1 through 8, in which I can assert, even in modesty, go far more deeply into the sorts of anthroposophical topics that I take up in this workshop. The online conferences go far more deeply into this than any other conferences that are offered, at least in the English-speaking world. And hundreds of charter school and public school teachers have taken these courses over the years. Some of you in this audience have, and if you haven't, very likely one or two or more of your colleagues have as well. So please look into them. If you find this workshop opens up a new sphere of interest for you, and one that I think can be very helpful. All right, off to the home visit, and thank you again for joining us.